WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. This is 90.7 The Capstone. You are joining into the student section. I am your host, Connor Rolls, joined with Brady Grogan and Jalen Brooks. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, you know, 2023, we're here.
I'm glad to be back in the studio. It feels like it's been a long time since we've been in here together.
Yeah, we have missed a lot. We missed the rest of the regular season, and we also missed a lot of the NBA action. But, so let's get started off with the wild card reaction from last week. Starting off with the Bills and Dolphins. So, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the Bills?
I honestly think we were cheated out of one of the best wild card games of all time if Tua played in that game. I really think we were cheated out of like an all time game, because like watching that game, like the entire time watching it, I'm thinking if Tua was playing in this game, like this would just be like the best game of all time. I feel like.
Well, it's tough because, you know, the Dolphins are a completely different team with Tua. Mm-hmm. They like to throw the ball downfield. They like to do all this different stuff. And with Skyler, it's a lot of, like, short pickup games. It's a lot of run game, which they're not the best at. But still, the Bills' defense did not look good at all. They allowed over 30 points.
The Dolphins' defense played much better, I think, than anyone expected.
Yeah, most definitely.
And you know what's funny? I've been wanting to say, like, I kind of agree with you. I think if Tua was in that game, that could have been, like, a potential like upset or something, like, because we saw in the regular season when they played, it was like
the last game in Buffalo, like the last game in Buffalo, yeah, where it came down to that final field goal, like that was a great game.
And even the first game,
that's
where the Dolphins won,
and when it was super hot in Miami, right? Mm-hmm. So we saw the matchups, both matchups went down to the wire. So I have to agree with you. I think it definitely would have been like definitely a shootout or something, because no one, they got Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. I don't know if that defense could have handled it, especially after what we just saw.
Because the Dolphins, like, I can't remember exactly, but I don't think they got Jalen Waddle going like at all that game, I'm pretty sure. And Tua gets Waddle his targets like right, consistently.
Yeah,
with Tyreek in that.
So for receiving, Waddle only had 3 catches for 44 yards.
Yeah, like. Tua makes sure to get like Waddle like involved, because like when people like added Tyreek, there's like kind of like some concern like whether like Waddle's production was going to go down, but like Tua makes sure like to get Waddle his targets, and they never got Waddle going in this game, which I think was missing because like Tua wasn't there for that, because they had that Alabama connection.
Yeah, and I think and also their backup Teddy not able to play either. So when your backup can't go, and then you have to start your third stringer in a playoff game, it's never going to go well. So. But also that raises the question for Tua, like for next year, and like how do you guys feel about his health? Because are you comfortable rolling it back with Tua?
So personally, I think it's all up to the doctors. But if my opinion, I would love to see him back on the football field. It would be a great pleasure to watch him play. But he's had 3 concussions in the span of what, 2-3 months?
Right.
It's a scary sight. There's a lot of potentially bad brain damage there. And so I would not be surprised if he stops playing football, and if that's best for him, he should do that.
Because God forbid we have another Darman Hamlin situation, and I'm glad he's okay, but that, you know, I think players just need to take their safety more. I mean, you can't explain like what happened there to Damar Hamlin, but for Tua, I mean, it's a repetitive process right mm-hmm. now, so hopefully he can stay healthy. But I think you were telling me he tweeted something right
yes,
before the show.
Yes.
I was going to say, I got the tweet out of you. I'll read it. Connor brought this to our attention to the show. So Tua, 2 hours ago, tweets, "When one chapter ends, another begins. Proud of this last one, excited for the next one."
So that raises a lot of questions.
Very mysterious.
With the whole Lamar Jackson, you know, the Ravens just signed Roquan Smith to the highest linebacker deal, which raises a lot of questions about what their priorities are on offense for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. They weren't able to get a deal done. So I'm wondering if, you know, he wants to go back to his hometown. With that being the case, Tua might be gone, or Tua might have that concussion problem where he's like, I might want to step down from the game.
I was going to say, I hadn't even, like, considered the fact that, like, he might want to step down, but that does, like, make somewhat sense when I thought about that, because the 3 concussions is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, especially in that short of time.
Wow, that's interesting.
Now like, you're stepping like away from football. Like
an Andrew
I
Luck
even
perspective? Like from, like, an Andrew Luck kind of consideration? Yeah. that's a good point. I never even, like, really considered it, because he's so young.
Mm-hmm.
But I would hate to see that, but hopefully, who knows what happens, but Yeah, Lamar might come to South Beach and maybe win not one, not two, not three, not four.
Pulling a LeBron. So we're going to get to Lamar later with our offseason predictions, but let's move on to that Chargers-Jags game. Now, there was a lot of problems with that game from start to finish with Trevor Lawrence not playing up to his standard with the four picks in the first half or the ending with the Chargers. So, I mean, I have a question. Do you think it was the coach's fault, the QB's and the offense's fault, or maybe even the defense's fault for letting him come back?
Okay, so this is my perspective. We all know, I think we all had a couple of questions about Brandon Staley, mm-hmm. and especially because some of the calls he made during the regular season. So coming into this game, you guys are they're rolling as we saw, and then coming out the second half, you can't just allow that. I have to put that on coaching because something's clearly not right. Because in the first half, I swear, like, I blinked and I thought I saw Deion Sanders, but it was Asante Samuel Jr. And, like, if that guy's getting
playing just like his father.
Well, I know. shout out to Asante Samuel. But I had to put that all on coaching because I don't think that's ever happened in NFL history, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, biggest lead.
Yeah. And so, but also, I want to give credit to one of my favorite coaches all times, Dougie P. I think a lot of people had their doubts about him when he got hired, or especially after the Urban situation. Mm-hmm. But he delivered, and you can see there's a really cool moment. They were gonna go for it, and then I think you see Dougie P sprinting down the sideline, and he calls a timeout, and then they you can see after that moment, like, I think they got it on video, but all the players come up and hug him and everything, and then, like, it's just love. So
yeah, all love to Doug Peterson right now, Brady.
So as a Chargers fan for a little bit, mm-hmm. I've never been happier than when we were up 27-0.
Oh.
That was just the peak of my life. It was everything was clicking, the defense was playing amazing, and like it was going so well. We were up 27-0, and I was so happy. And then that second half comes around, and like the second the Jaguars get to like 17 points or like that, I just knew the game was over. I just knew the Chargers were gonna lose. They love to lose these games in like any way possible, but I think the problem it kind of falls, I feel like, on like their offensive coordinator. I would argue it's less of Staley's fault and more of the offensive coordinator's fault.
They got rid of the offensive
please,
coordinator, right?
Please explain this, because I'm very...
The offense just it doesn't work well. Like, we don't run the ball well at all, which mm-hmm. is kind of absurd for Austin Ekeler being as good as he is.
Six carries in the second half or something like that, right?
But we can't run the ball, and we are in desperate need of a power back. Like, desperate need of someone who can just run straight up the middle and get, like, 3 or 4 yards sometimes. Like, we need that so bad, because Ekeler just can't do that. So when we're in the second half, we can't feed Ekeler, because I think there's some stat that Ekeler has never had more than 20 carries in a game, which is, like, kind of absurd for, like, how marquee of a running back he's been for this long.
Mm-hmm.
He's never had more than 20 carries. So you can't just, like, feed Ekeler.
Yeah.
So, like, we can't hand the ball off to Ekeler the entire second half, like a lot of teams do when they're ahead. They just give it to their running back. And it for me, it begs the question, how important is Ekeler to this team? Because when I was watching this game, if we can't give our star running back the ball when we're up 27-0, like, what's the point?
Exactly.
What's the point of having them on this team? I understand Ekeler is an elite pass catcher mm-hmm. in the backfield, but we are in desperate need of a guy we can just hand the ball off to when we're ahead. And that's what I noticed when I was watching the game.
As a Chargers fan, is that what you would say is like your biggest need?
Well, they need a lot of needs right now.
We need an offensive coordinator, for one. we need a running back we can give the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, that we can, like, just, like, say, like, here, we're just going to give you the ball, like, we're going to keep handing the ball off to you. Like, we needed that, because if we had that in that game, then we would have won. Like, we would have won that game if we had just had a running back we could hand the ball off to.
So, for me, I think it's Brandon Staley's got to go. Terrible clock management, you know, how he handled the ending of the game last year when they could have made the playoffs, that they would have just let it go, because that's what the Raiders looked like they were going to do,
mm-hmm.
let clock run out. But no, he wanted to call a timeout and be greedy. That ended up the Raiders pushing the ball and actually kicking them out of the playoffs. Then this game, you can say it falls on the offensive coordinator, but I don't think you can say that, because Brandon Staley could have stepped in and said, we are up 27-0. Let's run the ball. 13 carries is unacceptable for one of the best running backs in the league.
In a blowout game.
In my opinion,
the first half, a blowout game.
In my opinion, he's one of the most overrated running backs in the league because of his fantasy football numbers. He scores a lot, yes. He can't run the ball. He can't. He can catch it all he wants, but he can't run it. 13 carries for 35 yards, that's unacceptable. You have Justin Herbert in a blowout game throw 43 times for one touchdown. That's also his fault. He's got to be able to, like Acho says, he's a social media quarterback.
Yeah.
He hits a lot of throws, like a pretty like crazy throws. But there's a lot of things they don't show about his inaccuracy, his always trying to make the big play, never taking little checkdowns, which is a problem for me. The defense, they played great. Four interceptions, that's all you can ask for. But the offense, they got four interceptions, only and kicked field goals. Scored like what, one or two touchdowns? This whole team, I mean, Brandon Staley's got to get fired, in my opinion.
See, I disagree. I actually like Brandon Staley staying with the Chargers. I do think it was an offensive coordinator and pass calling like kind of situation. But I will say, I kind of think about this in the terms of like Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni, when he first came in, was not good at calling plays. That's why he stepped down from calling plays. He was not good at like just some situationals, like situational football. Like there's sometimes on fourth he went for it, and I was like, why are we going for it? There's times where he went for two, and I was kind of confused. But I say this because you look at Nick Sirianni now, who I think should be the league favorite to win Coach of the Year, and you see how far he's come. And that was under only a year. So, like, it was 2 years. So, Brandon Staley's about to be going to his third year. And I think he should at least get one more year to see, like, because you learn lessons. And, like, is the youngest, isn't he? No, or Kevin McConnell is from the Vikings. I know, how old is Brandon Staley? I know he's one of the younger coaches in the league. I want to say he's like 36 or 35.
He's 40.
40? Okay.
But still pretty young for an NFL coach.
All right. And Nick Sirianni's still one of the youngest head coach, and I think he just turned 41. But that's my point. He's a young coach. We've seen improvement since he's been with the Chargers, in my opinion. Like, in terms of, I think, like, they more have an identity kind of more now in terms of under Justin Herbert. But I don't know. Like, there's definitely still things that need to be cleaned up. And especially after all those off-season accusations, getting all those off-season signings.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of the word. But it's kind of disappointing to see their season fall like this.
I was gonna say, like, they invested a lot of money in this team in the off-season. Yep. And, like the J.C. Jackson contract certainly does not look good. I think only played, like, seven this season. But, like... I do agree that they should keep Staley for one more year. I think they need one more year of it. I don't think bringing in someone is going to make it instantly better or solid. I think if we give Staley one more year, bring in a new offensive coordinator, kind of revamp the offense, and then if next year goes poorly, that's when you make the move and you fire them.
So, I just want to bring this up. So compared him to Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
But Nick Sirianni was able to adapt his game. Remember, against the Cowboys, he ran the ball four times. He was then able to be like, you know what, you're right. We got to run the ball. We don't have a great passing offense. So then they became the best running attack in the league.
Yeah.
He has not been able to adapt. You know, his first year, it was the exact same offense. Air raid, air raid, air raid. The very next year, it's air raid again. But you got to look at him for some blame. Week 17, you're already locked in. Week 18, you're already locked into your position.
That was his fault.
The sixth seed. You're doing all this stuff. Mike, you decide to play your starters the whole game. Joey Bosa goes down. He's not full strength to the playoffs. Mike Williams gets hurt for multiple weeks. He missed the game. Completely different game that they had Mike Williams.
Mike Williams, I don't care what anyone says. I think Mike Williams is the best receiver on that team.
I do, too.
Mike Williams is better than Keenan Allen at this point in his
career. Yeah.
And the fact that Mike Williams played in Week 18 is honestly embarrassing. Like, it really is. The guy had injury problems the entire season, and honestly has had them for his career. Well, he'll miss, like, two or three games throughout the stretch. And so what is the purpose of playing him? Like, play everyone else. But this guy who has a history of being hurt and is your best receiver – like on your offense, and your offense like kind of relies on honestly. Like, yeah. It's such a different offense when Mike Williams is out.
He's their whole deep threat.
It's so different out there when Mike is out there, and to play him is just. It makes me sick, honestly. That a screen pass is what took Mike Williams out.
We're feeling a Chargers fan's pain right now.
It is. Like I like it makes it honestly like it sickens me that like that's how he went down. Because I love watching Mike Williams play, and that's how his season ends. On a game that doesn't matter, on a player that doesn't matter.
I will say the best thing Brandon Staley did during the second half of that football game was handing Joey Bosa back his helmet after he threw it down twice.
I will give Joey Bosa. I think he was.
He was right to be. I understand why he was upset.
I don't blame Joey Bosa for being mad.
But at the same time, he did cause a huge penalty.
He did.
That's the only reason that the Jags went for two.
I was feeling the same way Joey Bosa was, though. Like, I feel like if I was on the field, I would also throw my helmet on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's completely understandable. But.
So we will be right back from break, and we'll get into more wild card recaps. We'll be right back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, welcome back to 90.7 The Capstone. This is Connor Rolls on the student section. And so we just finished up talking about Chargers versus Jags wild card game. Let's talk about the Giants versus Vikings.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just going to start off by saying I feel for all you Minnesota Vikings fans. I'm so sorry. But at the same time, I don't think anyone was really surprised by this Mm-mm. outcome. I mean, if you look at the line for Vegas, you could just see that most people were expecting the Vikings to lose.
Yeah.
I know this comes up a lot, and I know a lot of people say it as a joke, and I think Kirk is still a good quarterback and doesn't get as much praise as he should. But it just felt like one of those games where you're just like, Kirk's not going to like be good enough for a big playoff game. He played well, though. Don't get me wrong. But like decent enough. But not better than Daniel Jones to get the win. And that's the thing. Daniel Jones' best games of this season twice have been against the Minnesota Vikings because their defense is just absolutely just horrendous. They were playing with Patrick Peterson starting as your corner number one and then a third string starting as your number two. So, and that's – you're playing someone with the Giants who has no weapons, like with the receivers. But, like, you still have Slayton. But, like, other than that –
the Vikings –
Kenny Golladay also, I think, made it, like, a little appearance. But other than that, yeah.
Yeah, the Vikings made Darius Slayton look like prime Victor Cruz out there. It was definitely hard to watch if you were a Vikings fan.
I was going
to
say, I don't think Kirk had a good game. Like, I think we got to give Kirk like his props a little bit.
Right.
Like how much he gets
unless
rolled.
Except for the last play of the game, because that was horrendous.
The last play of the game was bad. Have to make a throw where you're putting like someone in the position where they have a chance. That was bad. But like the rest of the game, Kirk had a good game and he put this team like in a spot where he needed the defense to kind of like play all right, and the defense couldn't do that, and that the defense is why they lost.
And just to go add on real quick, I mean, time and time again, I know that they were the number two seed,
mm-hmm.
but either number two or three. But I remember every single game that you look for them, like I know a team you want to see a team go through like fight through like adversity with some of the battles that they've had, because they had some crazy games this year.
But
at the same time, when it happens so consistently, it's alarming. And I don't think anyone was, that's why no one was really surprised to that. But also, last point, I think this is Kirk's done in Minnesota. The GM's already talked about this before the season started. I think he was like, we like Kirk, but we know Kirk isn't, like, he said something like that, like, Kirk isn't the answer for us. So I think what they're going to do is draft a project QB and let Kirk probably finish this year out, and then I think it's 1 year left.
Are you thinking Anthony Richardson?
That is who I'm thinking.
Okay, this is like evaluating talent stuff, but Anthony Richardson, I don't see any NFL quarterback like qualities in him when I watch him play.
To me, he's kind of like a very, very, very raw Jalen Hurts. Like, you know?
Honestly?
He's so much like Jalen Hurts would like in college, like, looked like a quarterback. Like,
yeah, that's
he could, like, Anthony Richardson could not
it's
really
just the
throw
athleticism.
The ball.
The
athleticism is there.
Yeah.
But, like, as a quarterback, for Anthony, I think this is getting into, like, evaluation stuff. But I just, like, I'm so low on Anthony Richardson.
So, before we get back to the Giants game, I want to just make my little point, because I've seen a lot of mock drafts of him going first round.
Which I don't believe at all.
I don't believe
I can't
at all.
Like, exactly. That.
And so, I know the Vikings have been like literally stacking up like second round, third round draft picks, fourth round.
So my comp for Anthony Richardson, just a little preview before we get into our draft talks later into the year, but I have him in even more raw Malik Willis. We all know Malik Willis was insanely raw.
He is.
But Anthony Richardson, he has so much talent, but he can have like a 300-yard, three-touchdown game with an insane throw. Or in the very next game, he's like 6 for 20-something, a couple interceptions. It's okay, but besides that, let's get back to this game. And you, like you were saying, Kirk Cousins, he had a pretty good, he had a great game actually. 31-39, 273, 2 touchdowns.
He played good, and then I said decent because of that last play.
I think people were latching on to that last play a little too much. Like Kirk had a good game outside that, and that was like what, fourth and like
three, I think, right?
No, it was fourth and eight.
They had like eight, a while to get.
So like they were already in a position
to
like,
fail.
They were set up. Like if Kirk just like airs it out and overthrows, let's say like Justin Jefferson, like a deep route.
I would get that. I would understand that.
Like no one says a word about Kirk Cousins. I just feel like they were already in a spot like where they had like lost.
Yeah.
But the thing is, this Giants defense, I mean, they held Justin Jefferson to 47 yards. That's very impressive. I think they bracketed coverage like they did, like the Packers did.
Yeah.
They had the DB, you know, kind of like making sure he doesn't go like a little short route.
Right.
Then they had the safety on top so he can like kind of box him in. Adam Thielen only had 3 catches for 50 yards, but their weak spot is a tight end. TJ Hockenson, 129 yards. That's a big part of the whole Eagles game plan that I want to get to when we get there. But TJ Hockenson had a big game. Dalvin Cook, 15 rushes for 60 yards. It's not like he should have had a bigger game. The Vikings O-line should have been able to block.
Yeah, it was not the best game for his last game as a Viking.
No. You think it's his last game?
Yeah, he's not coming back.
Is this a contract year for him?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. He's 28 right now, and injury history, and being 28 years old. I don't believe you're coming back to the Minnesota Vikings. You have a lot to pay.
I was really about to say, I don't think Dalvin Cook we see next year like is...
Wow.
Like, I think we're approaching like kind of like the end of Dalvin Cook being that like that high quality...
Wow, that's interesting because I could see him back on the Vikings, but he will be asking for a big, big check.
I could only see it on a franchise tag, but like, he's going to be wanting like one more big payday.
So other than
maybe the Chargers?
No.
No, I'm kidding.
No, but
more injury prone running backs. Give me more. I need more with bad hamstrings.
You need a more injury prone team.
Yeah.
But so to finish it off, Kirk Cousins, great game besides the last. Like, I mean, you could see everything else was covered. I would rather you throw it to Justin Jefferson, double coverage, than...
I mean, he made that catch of the
against
year.
The Cowboys,
catch of the century,
Cowboys.
Probably the greatest catch in NFL history.
Yeah.
I don't care if there's four guys on. Just throw it up and let JJ try
against
to get
the Bills,
it.
Yeah. So,
like, literally.
I would rather that than, you know, TJ Hockenson on an out route, three yards down the field, nowhere near it, and then you also throw the ball behind him where he needs to stop, catch the ball, and then run instead of just leading him outside where he can get for momentum.
I'll give credit to this. TJ Hockenson was having a good game. If he throws that ball into
space. What a steal
of
a trade.
If he throws that is true. That was a great trade for him. But if he throws that ball into space, like if it's a better thrown ball, I think there is a chance TJ Hockenson gets the first
down. Oh, 1,000%. But that's...
It's just I think the decision honestly was maybe like a little...
I feel like he's panicked. Like, I feel like he was under pressure.
Yeah, it was just kind of like panic, and he's just kind of like dumping it down to TJ Hockenson, underthrows it like a little bit.
But that's been Kirk's flaw this entire time, not being able to handle that pressure. So,
and plus,
it kind of makes sense.
He
fitting.
He doesn't run with his feet, and that's one of the biggest, especially in today's NFL, that's one of the downfalls.
The last thing we're going to talk about, I mean, we're not going to really talk about the 49ers-Tampa Bay game because that was just a massacre, even though Brett Maher needs to...
That was bad.
It might be his time.
No, that was terrible. But shout out Tom Brady. I don't know if he's going to be done, but in case he is, it was a good run.
Yeah. So, but I kind of want to get into, not really talk about the 49ers-Seattle game, because even though it was a good game for most of the game until they pulled away, I want to get into Brock Purdy. Do you think with, you know, the whole Trey Lance injury, do you think he'll be the starter, or do you think they'll ride with Brock? Or do you think they'll sign a quarterback in free agency?
I think it depends on if they win another playoff game. If they win another playoff game, then I think you're going to ride with Purdy. Unless Trey Lance comes back looking like like the next, I don't
know. Cam Newton.
Yeah, like exactly. Like unless he just comes back different. But anyway, but yeah, Brock Purdy, he's done a great job. I'm still like kind of skeptical because, like I said, the 49ers since he's been in has not, they have not played a pass rushing defense, like a top pass rushing defense. I think it's still going to be interesting to see when he, like, as the playoffs go on, because he is a seventh round pick. But so far, he's been absolutely killing it. And, God, that defense, their defense is really, their defense is a well-oiled machine.
It is,
and that's the most frightening thing about that team, if I'm being completely honest.
Honestly, actually, I'm sorry to cut off, but that's actually, I'm not really worried about their defense like that. I don't even know if they have a really great D-line. Nick Bosa is really good. Other than that, they don't have a lot of other firepower besides, is it Armstead? No, he's with the...
Armstead. I think it's already get traded. I think he might have gotten traded.
I forget who their other D-lineman is, but I can't think of the name. But besides them two, they don't really have a lot of pass rush ability, I don't think. Their corners, they got toasted that game. Ward,
yeah.
One of the best corners in the league. I mean, DK was just sunning him the entire game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was a little scary to watch. Hufanga is a really good safety. I like what he brings. And their linebackers are really good.
Yeah.
But I still think there's a lot of holes in that defense that people are overlooking because of the opponents they played.
I think that defense in the second half, I like the point. So the second half, they forced a fumble. The Seattle then punted, then forced an interception in the second half. Like, those were the first three possessions in the second. I think that defense, I think the first half was kind of like the it's a divisional game, you know, that they're like the Seattle's playing well, it's keeping it close. But in the second half, that defense locked it down. And it looked like the defense that is, like, why everyone's talking about, like, being so scared.
It looks like they can just flip it on. Like, they know when it's time to go. Like, you know, because sometimes you'll be like, as you said, to the corner situation, like, you're just like, oh, gosh, I don't know. But then, like you said, they just clamp
up. In the second half, Seattle had four possessions, and they forced turnovers on two of them.
Like, yeah.
That's incredibly impressive.
So, before I get back to the Brock Purdy, I just want to bring up, you know, the Seahawks, they had a really good first half, and then you mentioned how they were able to turn it on. But sometimes it worries me. Will they be able to turn it on all the time? Because, I mean, you look at the Cardinals without Kyler Murray. They scored 13, whatever. That's cool. But then you go back to the week before, they barely beat the Raiders with Jarrett Stidham in overtime. They allowed 34 points right there. The Commanders, they allowed 20 points. I mean, they don't play a lot of competition, it looks like. And they haven't been great.
The Raiders game, I feel like, I don't want to say it gets a pass, but, like, it kind of does, I feel like, because when quarterbacks, it's, like, the first week and you have no film on them. Like, I feel like this always happens where it's like, oh, my God, is this guy, like, actually, like, crazy good? And I feel like that is kind of, like, fluky a little bit. Like, Jared Stidham's kind of coming in. You have no idea what you're going to see.
So, with that, you can say that, of course. But a lot of the throws were just, like, wide open, Davante Adams. Like, a lot of it was just the corners getting beat. Or you mentioned, yes, there's not a lot of game film on him. So it's kind of tough. You could go back to the Patriots days without any weapons, and
He didn't even play. He didn't even, like, play. Like, the last time you can really look at Jared Stidham is when he was in Auburn. Like, that is, like, legitimately, like, the last time you can see him play, like, NFL games, which is, like, a long time ago.
But you mentioned, like, it's hard with no game film. Look at the Dolphins with Skylar Thompson. I mean, when he first got in the game, he hasn't hit over 170 once his entire NFL career besides last week. So it's like you can't really pick and choose, I feel like, when it comes to quarterback and game film. I feel like at that time, it's just you're supposed to be the best defense in the league. It's not a rookie quarterback, but it's a quarterback that has rarely yet to play in this league, like, at a high level. And he comes out and just dices that defense up.
But I also think it's kind of like they're playing down to their competition. I feel like that's also what could be the case for that because, like, I was trying to think of I had a great example just a moment ago, but it just left me. So if it comes back, I'll say it. But yeah, I just think they play down to their competition. I mean, I like, because it's the Raiders. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I get that.
And, like, you, it's the game, like, right after they're saying, yeah, Derek Carr's done. Like, you know, like, I just feel like they weren't really.
I think prepared. It just happens sometimes.
Yeah,
like, I think
that's
like
what I'm
it
saying.
Just like sometimes
that is true.
It just happens.
Yeah. Right. But, okay, so before we go into break, let's talk about Brock Purdy. You think he's going to return or no?
As a starter?
As a starter.
ask me next week, because if he wins, then yeah. But if he doesn't, then actually, you know what? You know what? Yes.
Brady?
I'm digging in.
I'm going with no. I think if Trey Lance is healthy next year, then Trey Lance is still going to be. I think Shanahan is a big fan of Trey Lance. I think he really likes like the mobility that Trey Lance brings to the table, the athletic ability he has. I think he's a big fan of that. And I think if Trey Lance is healthy and come back next year, he's going to go with Trey Lance.
So I think I agree with that, because we look at Brock Purdy last game. I wasn't able to mention this, but he on the stat sheet, it looks great. 18 for 30, 332 yards, and 3 touchdowns. But if you actually watch the game, he missed a lot of throws that he should have made. Or there were some throws where, even though it was completed, like that one where he was able to thread the needle,
That
was a terribly thrown ball. If he would have just hit him in the numbers or in stride, that would have been a touchdown. But he had to dive for it. It was... I feel like he's getting overrated because of his offensive talent around him.
And the fact that he's a seventh round pick.
Yeah, I mean.
I think it just goes to show, like, I think Kyle Shanahan is like, one of the smartest
Shanahan
coaches of all time. Like, I really think he is one of the smartest, like, offense. And, like, this team has so much talent. Like, the fact that you just have Christian McCaffrey, like, just, like, there.
Just
like,
there.
If you need it.
Whatever.
Like, hey, like, do we need Christian McCaffrey? Let's just, like, give him the ball. Like, that's, like, an amazing safety, whatever. And Debo is absolutely insane, like getting open, getting him in motion, like getting him moving across the field, and then yards after catch for him is absurd. Brandon Ayuk has great hands. Like, I feel like he has a lot around him.
And the O-line is also insane.
Connor, let me ask you a quick question before we get to break. As an Eagles fan, knowing what you know now, Carson Wentz and then Nick Foles, and then when Carson Wentz is still injured from his ACL, would you have kept Nick Foles, knowing what you know now, as the starter?
Honestly, no, I wouldn't.
No,
because if we had Nick Foles, we would not be in the same situation as we are in today. With the whole, our defense looks amazing. We would have never probably fired Doug Peterson, even though it looks terrible right now. We got Nick Sirianni, and he loves what Jalen Hurts is doing.
Right. Well, I'm glad that we didn't and we went that way. Mm-hmm. But I ask that because it kind of seems similar to the 49ers situation. Except the only difference is Carson Wentz was balling at an MVP level.
I was going to say, I think the difference is that it's like Trey Lance doesn't have that like expectation like of the media like surrounding him is like saying like
that
this guy is like Carson Wentz was an MVP. Like, he was the MVP
until
he got hurt.
Yeah.
So like coming into the season, it was like you start the guy who was the MVP.
Right.
But with this situation, it's different because Trey Lance still has played, three? Three games.
And that's why I was bringing that up, because that's why I feel like Brock might be the...
I'm saying there's less expectation. Because Brock Purdy, he's a seventh-round pick, so obviously if he doesn't start next year, I don't feel like anyone's going to, be rioting in the streets unless he, makes the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I feel like that it'd still be more acceptable to start Trey Lance than the Carson Wentz thing, where it was like, hey, this guy was the MVP 9 months ago. Why aren't you starting him?
Okay.
So before I give anything, and if I think he's going to return as a starter next year, I have to agree with Jalen. I kind of have to see more playoff film, because he hasn't played a lot of comp his NFL career. I want to see what he does against a real team, real defense. And that does it for right now. We'll be back 90.7 The Cap Zone to talk about the divisional round matchups.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, welcome back. This is 90.7 The Capstone. This is the student section. And so we just finished talking about the wild card. We have a big set of football games coming up either tomorrow or Sunday with the divisional round. And I want to start things off what we mentioned with the wild card game. The Giants.
The Eagles versus Giants. Go Birds!
This is a big game. First game back for the Eagles. Jalen Hurts seems to be healthy. The Eagles are looking to get back everybody. So my question for you guys is, with all this being said, one, is there a chance for the Giants to upset Eagles away at the Link? Or, will Daniel Jones have another game like he had against the Minnesota Vikings?
So, well, Brady, do you want to go first this time?
I was going to say, I think you'd have to be kind of stupid to say that the Giants don't have a chance.
Yeah, that's
like, I think that'd be kind of silly of you, anyone to say. Like, this team, we got to give Daniel Jones credit. He's hot.
Yep.
Like, that was a great game against the Vikings.
That,
like,
team
put on.
Is confident, and they're rolling. They have great chemistry right now.
I'm in love with Brian Daboll. Like, I think I'm actually, like, in love. Like, he's just, like, such a great coach. Like, the vibes he gives off. I can remember, what was it, like, week one or something. He, like, went for two, and I was like, I'm in on this guy. Like, for two. Like, I know he's got confidence in his team. And just ever since then, he's had that confidence in his team. And I really like him. I like how they're rolling, and I think that you have to say they have a chance.
And, like, that's the thing. Like, as you were mentioning, like, you could see week by week, like, the more wins they got, the more, like, this team bought into a system, like, the more they got, more confident they got. And I think it's showing now. But to say that they have no chance against the Giants, I mean, no chance against the Eagles, excuse me, I just think that's asinine. I just think it's professional football. It's NFL. So it's like every day there's a chance. So, like, as in, like, all these guys are competitors, and all these guys are going to compete, especially when it's playoff time and you get those extra bonus playoff checks. But that being said, I don't think Daniel Jones is going to have a repeat of his last performance against the Vikings, because, like, as we already mentioned, Daniel Jones seems to have his best games against the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles defense has 70 sacks on the year, so, like, something like that.
Yeah,
right?
It was 70 on the dot.
Okay, so, like, yeah, I'm liking the Birds in this scenario, but to say there's not a chance, I think it's kind of crazy. But just last point, Brian Daboll, he actually did I say it again? Daboll?
You did.
Yeah.
Cool. I always do that. My bad. But I was just gonna say at his time at Bama, he spoke with Jalen Hurts, and then they're still cool to this day. So it was cool to see him in his press conference still give Jalen Hurts that his respect, and I just wanted to mention that. So a respectable coach.
So with the Giants, our last two matchups against them, let's say the Giants, they didn't have Adoree Jackson. They didn't have Xavier McKinney. So they weren't fully healthy on the secondary side, which, I mean, we still won by 20-something points. But that also shows you Jalen Hurts had a field day on him. He was, what, two or three touchdowns through the air?
Yep.
So it was pretty impressive on that point. But I'm excited to see what they could do with all the secondary help they're getting back from injury. But, of course, I think there's a chance. Giants are hot. They are. Daniel Jones is looking like he can play in this league at a high level. Saquon Barkley looks like he's back from injury. Their O-line looks like they're blocking. Andrew Thomas looks nice. Their receivers, granted, they don't have big names, but they were able to put up numbers against the Vikings.
They're still respectable.
Against the Vikings defense. Yeah. But let's be honest here. The Giants played the 31st defense in the NFL. The right. Second worst. So, of course, Daniel Jones is going to look amazing. Of course, their receivers are going to look amazing. Of course, their offense is going to look amazing. But there's a difference between the 31st defense
absolutely.
In the league and the best secondary in the league,
mm-hmm.
who also have an all-pro corner in James Bradbury, a Pro Bowl corner in Darius Slay. You had a safety who now moved to the slot, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, which is an insane cornerback trio.
Out for four games and didn't get a Pro Bowl.
It's ridiculous. But the Giants had, 31 sacks?
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles had 70. Daniel Jones has never faced pressure like that before. And when he did, he got sacked six times. So I'm just saying, of course there's a chance. But, I mean, let's be honest here.
The only thing I'm, like, really nervous about is just Daniel Jones just keeps doing that QB sneak, and he's just taking it 80 yards and falling short every time. If he does that the whole game, if he does that, then I'm going to be like, okay, well, they're definitely have more of a chance than I thought. But other than that, I'm not really too.
I think, like, Giants. This Giants team just, like, encompasses the idea of, like, we have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
No,
exactly. Like, that's what's so scary about them is, like, their coach top down, they all know, like, we have nothing to lose. Like, they went into that Vikings game, and, like, if they lose that game, like, what does it matter? Their roster is, like, abysmal. Like, it's not a good roster by any means. The team was not supposed to be good. They exceeded everyone's expectations. The fact that they are even here
is amazing.
It's
a testament to their coaching staff.
So, like, that's part of the reason why I would be, like, kind of scared by them, because they've just been, like, balling.
I agree with you, but at the same time, I also have to kind of push back with some of the things you said, only because it's just, like, the only person who really has something to lose is maybe Daniel Jones, because...
I feel like he played his way into the contract next year.
You do? Okay.
At this point, I think he did.
I think so, too, as well. But I was just saying, like, it's. But I don't think it's not a long-term deal, though, right?
I think it's more of a franchise tag, in my opinion.
That's what I'm thinking as well. So I still think he still has something to play for, but it's still. But as for this team mentality, yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't think they have anything to lose.
So what shows you everything about what you're saying is there was a clip the other day where it shows the Giants, they're dancing, they're celebrating to practice. I mean, I get it, it's not that big of a deal, but that just shows you how much confidence they have after the couple of wins they had. But it's also a very big ask to come into the link, one of the most rowdy stadiums with the most craziest fans in a divisional game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that's just such a hard task to play in. I think, I don't want to say there's... I want to say it. There's little to no chance the Giants win this game. I'm sorry.
Oh, cool.
I mean, I think honestly, the crowd factor loses some merit, not merit, but like it loses some significance because of this team's mentality of like we have nothing to lose. Like, why would they care if like why would I care if the crowd's booing me if I know I'm supposed to lose?
Well, it's
like it's different. Like when there's expectations for you, and then the crowd gets in your head. But it's like they don't have expectations.
Well, the thing about the Philly crowd is it's kind of like, in my opinion, it's kind of like when you play the for NBA reference, it's kind of like when you play the Utah Jazz. Like it's like not as rowdy, but like you
they
know
they don't care. They'll say anything.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but not
to a point to where it's like disrespectful.
Yeah, let's not go too far because the Utah Jazz fans are low key kind of racist. So I'm like, let's not go that far.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not going that far because the thing about Philly fans, like, they're so passionate that they're going to give you support, but they're not going to try to be disrespectful. Like,
oh no,
unless you deserve
no.
it.
No, they will be disrespectful.
They will definitely be disrespectful, but they will not. They're not known for being racist like Utah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You'll see it coming. Like. You know, not just people. Yeah. Anyway, but I say that because it might be a hot take, but I actually think Philly team, like the Philly crowd, is absolutely just. I think it goes both ways. I think like because there's some players that just can't handle Philly pressure.
Of course.
Teams.
You look at Jalen Reagor. Some people are built for it. Some are not.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. And so like that, especially when it comes to playoff time, I get kind of nervous because of that. Because especially because our team is so young, mm-hmm. the Eagles, especially on the offense. But we'll see what happens.
That's a really interesting point. Like that, the crowd like could amp up like the Eagles players' expectation, like of what they have to do, and they could like work in reverse. I never thought about it like that.
Yeah, it's just I've watched too many Eagles games.
So after we discuss this game, let's move on to, do you think there's any chance of an upset for the Jaguars versus Chiefs game in Arrowhead? Do you think there's any chance?
No.
Okay.
But just because it comes down to experience. I mean, you have a team that just no one had
experience.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like you had no one. Well, Dougie P. That's
Dougie P. has some experience.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's different from a coach and a player. Like if he was on the field, then I'd be more comfortable. But Patrick Mahomes, who's now, which is crazy to believe. I can't believe he just like turned 27. Like he's in his prime. Like. Travis Kelce is having one of his better years. You think he might? I don't know if he did. He break the touchdown record?
I'm not quite sure.
The Gronk touchdown? I think he
might have. I can't remember though.
I think he broke Gronk's record, but I think he's second now behind. I forget that guy's name. I'd have to look it up. But he broke some record. I'll look it up. But yeah, I mean, Jags are just rolling. I'm pretty confident that they're going to.
I said it week one. I'll say it again. I still think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl this year. They're still my favorite. I think Patrick Mahomes.
Really?
I've been on like, the entire season. They've lost three games by a combined 10 points. Like,
okay.
That, I mean, they have been in every single game this year. I think Patrick Mahomes.
Now, being in every single game can also be a bad thing, and I want to get into that after you finish your point.
It's different though. It's because it's not like the Vikings where it's like they're winning a bunch of close games. Like they're still losing. Like they lost close games, but they're like they're still blowing teams out. Like it's not like the Vikings were had 12 one score games. Like it's not like to that.
Yeah, it's
level.
Not to
like,
that extent.
Like they haven't been killed. They've been competitive in every single game. I think Patrick Mahomes is like legitimately one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Like I think he just is, and I don't think there's any way he loses this game.
I don't want to claim it right now, but I think he will be. But so, like you were saying, you know, it's always a good thing that he played some close games and stuff. But you look at it, 27-24 against the Broncos. That was not a good look. The Broncos were able to. Russell Wilson looked good in that game. He did. First time in the season.
That was after they fired their coach.
Which you can also say that. But I mean, the Texans overtime win against the Texans. I mean,
they definitely had a problem of playing down to their competition. Like, yeah. That was an issue throughout the season. But like, they were still playing the top-tier teams well.
They lost to the Colts, so I don't want to claim them as a Super Bowl contender just yet.
Contender?
Yeah.
You're not even going to put them in contender?
I don't think they're a contender right now. I don't think they're a contender. Let me tell you
Wait, can I just... You go first. Okay. Say why first, and then I'll...
It looks like it's getting heated one second.
I don't know why, but I have a certain vibe the Jaguars can pull off an upset right here. I do. I think the Jaguars are in a insane hot streak. You can't stop a hot streak. The Chiefs, it's all fun and games in the regular season when they don't have any receivers. Mecole Hardman, their best receiver, Juju... Come on.
I understand what you're saying because it is like it's kind of like with baseball. Whatever team catches on fire,
look at the Phillies.
That's what I was saying. Like I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, I just think it's going to come down to players' experience. That's what I think it's just going to come down to.
Which I can agree, but
and by the way, just real quick, that touchdown record was Travis Kelce breaking Rob Gronkowski's touchdown record
there
for most touchdowns.
There you go. But I smell something fishy with this game. The Jaguars are extremely hot. I don't think – I mean, of course, Arrowhead's a tough place to play, but –
And Dougie P knows all of Andy Reid's tricks.
Exactly. Dougie P's a little protege of Andy Reid.
Oh,
but,
okay. You're kind of convincing me here. Not really, but I'm falling for it.
There's not a lot of wide receiver talent on that team. Mecole Hardman, he's fast. That's it. Juju Smith-Schuster, he's a decent wide receiver,
too. He had a good year.
He did have a good year.
I still don't trust it. Kadarius Toney is Kadarius Toney.
Can he be healthy?
The only receiver that I'm really worried about is Travis Kelce and maybe Jerick McKinnon, but they can't run the ball.
But why – explain that. Why Travis Kelce? Why is he your biggest question mark for, like, wide
receiver? Oh, no. Like, he's their only receiver, in my opinion.
Okay.
But
I see what you're saying now.
They have guys step up, though, in games. I know they don't have guys, like, every game play well, but it seems like there's always, like, one or two guys that they have on their receiver that have good games here and there. And
like Sky Moore is one of them. Like I was going to
Sky Moore.
Kadarius Toney every now and then will make some good catches. I'm not saying he like takes over the game.
I think Juju had a good year.
He had a good year.
He had a good year.
Not a Tyreek Hill year all that.
Obviously not a Tyreek Hill year.
I don't think you need that with Patrick Mahomes.
I think
it's like we saw with Tom Brady, we're having like not having a big name receiver. I think that's the same kind of effect that Patrick Mahomes has. I don't think he needs a big name receiver.
But like you were saying, with experience, you look at the defense. No Tyrann Mathieu, that's been hurting a lot this year. Yeah, you have Frank Clark. That's a great pass rusher. George Karlaftis is looking good, but them linebackers really weak. Those corners really weak.
Bolton looks good.
I mean, Nick Bolton does look good, but I still don't trust it. I'm sorry.
I understand the argument, but I'm just not going to bet on Trevor Lawrence.
I'd like to go back into
right
so you said
first
not.
I'm
contender.
Punching the ticket for the Jaguars in the
you're
AFC Championship.
Not even contender.
Not a contender.
Okay, so like, he's basically arguing like the Jags being the new Bengals. That's basically what you're kind of.
I think they're going to go to the AFC Championship.
And that's why I'm like, okay, I can kind of see where you're coming from, but I just feel like this is probably one of the best AFC divisional rounds. Like,
yeah,
wow.
I think this is the best divisional round in a long time.
Are you saying all the games or this game?
All the games.
I see what you mean though. I was gonna because I was literally about to say like I think Cincinnati Buffalo is a better game than this game.
Oh yeah,
but like just to go back on the I don't see it. I don't see the Chiefs losing this game. I don't see Patrick Mahomes not winning this game. Like he finds ways to win, and he consistently shows up in the playoffs. Like consistently, Patrick Mahomes has played great football in the playoffs.
Let me go back to this, right?
And he's probably gonna win MVP.
They are
for sure.
Yeah, most likely because of Jalen Hurts' injury. But let me go back to this.
Let me go back to this.
When the Jags and Chiefs played, they played on November 13th. Jacksonville was 3-7. Was 3-7. They were not able to. Their offense looked kind of mid. You know, Trevor Lawrence was not really the same level he is now. But you look at what he's been able to do. They're now 10-8. They lost one game since that. I think they are extremely hot, and I think there's an insanely high chance that they can come in and pull this upset.
Sorry.
No.
You good?
I get, I was just saying that I just like thought like you're still, like talking smack about like the Chiefs receivers, but I was like the Jaguars receivers. I'm not like
Christian Kirk has had a great year.
Jamal Agnew,
that's Zay Jones.
That's not being talked
Evan
about.
Ingram is having an insane year.
I would rather have
the Chiefs like skill position players than the Jags.
I wouldn't
just because of Travis Kelce is that good.
Kelce is that good, but there's more options for the Jaguars.
I would take the Jags weapons if Doug was my coach. Because it seems like because this is just because it's breakout years for all of them, kind of.
I mean, Andy Reid is like as good as it gets offensively.
Oh yeah, no,
I'm not arguing Andy Reid, yeah. But
like,
it's.
I feel like the difference is not like that big between like their.
Well, that's the thing. Like you saw, like if like as our conversation alluded to earlier, like if Brandon Staley made the right calls, it's like I don't even think we'd be having this conversation.
Yeah, but the only you could say that.
The only reason we are is just because Brandon Staley didn't. I'm sorry, Brady didn't do what he was supposed to be doing. So.
I know.
So to end this off, we're gonna move on because you know we already know how we feel about this game. Let's end off really quickly with a little preview of the game we were all excited for, and then DeMar Hamlin. We all prayed and we all are happy that he's back. But it's Bengals versus Bills. I'm excited to see what this looks like. Hopefully there's no like crazy injuries like this again. We're all happy he's back and healthy, and I want to get this off the chest. I'm glad they stopped the game for the player's health.
Right.
But how do you feel about this game, Bengals versus Bills?
Give me the Bengals.
That quick?
Yep.
That quick.
Joe Shiesty's on a mission.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is Bengals versus Jaguars in the AFC Championship game.
I think you're saying that. I think I'm saying Bengals versus Cheese.
I was just saying, I think this is going to be, like, the best game of, like, the year we've seen so far.
Mm-hmm. It's
going to
be a good battle.
I'm beyond excited to watch this game. I would have to also go with the Bengals. Josh Allen has kind of scared me a little bit.
He has.
Like, a lot of it. Like, that Dolphins game, like, yep. He turned the ball over.
Well, okay, if you say that, right? We could also talk about Joe Burrow and the Bengals scared you against the Ravens. So you could also say that. They're both divisional matchups, both without the other starting quarterback, and they both struggled against their opponents.
I just think...
But the turnovers were what scared me with Allen.
Okay, yeah.
The fact that it was a close game wouldn't concern me because it's a divisional game in the playoffs. Like, if the game's close, I understand like that it's going to be a grinded-out game, but the turnovers are what scares me because this Bengals team is going to be able to take advantage of them way better than that Dolphins team was.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you guys a question. Do you think what's more likely? That the team comes out, plays hard for DeMar Hamlin now that he's back and with the team and everything, or still at least talking to everyone? Or do you think that they're so drained from that they might come out and lay an egg?
I don't think they lay an egg.
They're not going to lay an egg.
Not lay an egg as in like they don't score, but as in like,
I don't
you know
mean,
what I'm saying?
But like I don't think there's any world where like that they play worse.
So,
not play well.
In my opinion, I think that has already passed because they had multiple games. He against the Patriots.
Right.
The
two kick returns, but they still they barely beat the Patriots.
You know.
So it's not like they got a huge boost. And then against the Dolphins, it's his first game out of the hospital, and they still almost lose. So I feel like, if anything, it's not going to have that much of an impact as people think that it's going to have.
And last thing, I don't know if I have this quote correctly, just because speaking of the Bills game, the craziest things about those that return, someone said it had been 3 years, 3 months, and 3 days since the last time that's ever happened for the Bills. And isn't that just crazy because DeMar Hamlin wearing number 3?
Yeah,
I just
poetic.
Thought I just, it, yeah, it's, that's what I was saying. It's like, it's weird.
It's a prophecy that it had to be done. Hamlin it's prophecy. For DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah.
But before we end it off, let me get y'all's prediction. Who do y'all think is gonna win?
For
the Bengals Bills.
Oh, I said Bengals.
You already said Bengals. Brady.
Bengals.
Bengals.
Yeah.
Tough one, but I think Bengals are gonna win because of the turnover, and Josh Allen throwing dumb picks.
For sure.
Well, we'll see. Oh God, probably. Well, yeah, we'll see what happens. It's gonna be a great weekend. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch a bunch of football. But this is it for 90.7 The Capstone Student Section. We are signing out. Go Birds.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.